Firstly, a big thank you to Kathleen Kerridge for allowing me to use her post in my blog today. And there'll be more about her book and the other things that she talks about on her blog at the end of this post. The upsetting reality of modern day poverty. This is a post about a subject very close to home, my home. It is about politicians who wouldn't know poverty if it chewed on their overpaid arses. It's about, in part, Jamie Oliver. Now, to put this out there, I love Jamie. For years and years, I idolised the man. He taught me to cook when I could barely operate a pot noodle, and we lived off smash, which is dehydrated potatoes, and pasta. We even overcooked that. I would watch all his shows and learn slowly from the TV. In less than a year, I was able to cook a three-course meal for 15 people. Gourmet became easy, and I was soon laughing my way through three meat roasts and cooking from scratch curries. I owe my skill in the kitchen to Jamie. I have a lot to thank him for. Jamie Oliver was good to watch when I had money. Before I had six operations, culminating in a partial mastectomy of my right breast. He was great before I had a heart attack, caused in part by the amount of strain the constant general anaesthetics put on the organ. Before I was diagnosed with unstable angina, that's the bad sort if you're interested. It means there are days when rolling over in bed causes my heart to seize up and my oxygen levels to fall drastically. On these days, I can just about, with the constant administration of GTN spray, make it to the loo. Jamie was excellent, before I had to leave a well-paid job and fall back on the state and child tax credits just to help me survive. I lived comfortably, and we wanted for pretty much nothing important. We were young, in our late 20s, with well-paid, good jobs, and four beautiful, if a bit spoilt, children. Life was good. Until it wasn't good, and all I could do was watch helplessly as it spiralled down the pan. I was laid out on the couch every day with a sick bucket as my constant companion. They don't tell you that part. Heart failure makes you puke. A lot. I couldn't walk to the shop 100 metres from my front door. I had to stop and rest, sitting on my neighbour's walls every couple of feet. Work was an impossibility. Enter the recession. Goodbye, hubby's job. Thank you and good night. We were now, without question, in the deepest shit it was possible to get into. Then our landlord sold the house from under us, and we were homeless as well. Luckily, we found another house and my husband found another job pretty bloody quick. It's important to feel as though you're earning money and not sitting on your arse having it handed to you. Trust me, I know this from experience. It is a major reason I started writing, seriously. My food budget? About £45 a week. That's for 5 days' worth of packed lunches for four people, two lunches for five at the weekend, and seven evening meals. £45. I was over the moon when I saw Jamie had a new show on 4OD. Yes, I know it's not new, but I don't watch a lot of TV. Food on a budget, that sort of thing. Hooray, I thought, he'll show us how to feed us all on the money I have. Nope, not a bit of it. You see, to Jamie Oliver, a £20 shoulder of lamb is cheap because it can do two meals and it's not the leg, so costs less per kilo. Two meals, Jamie? For 20 bloody quid? I want at least four meals. It's a sad day when I get angry at Jamie Oliver for being a pretentious, arrogant prick. The reality of poverty is not what you see on TV, with those delightful characters from Benefit Street on Channel 4. It isn't all about people cursing loudly in the street with a fag in hand and their pyjamas on while they scream at their little two-year-old Albie to get the fucking doors in, you little shit, or I'll fucking slap you, ain't it? It's not sitting around on a bench with a can of special brew unwashed and stinking of urine roll up in filthy fingers. I don't smoke. I can't afford to smoke. I don't know many people who can. I have bars of soap next to my sinks and I'm able to use them to good effort. I am not dirty. I'm relatively poor. There is a difference. It's not even about food banks, because I don't know what the hell you have to do to get referred to one, but it's complicated, a long process. I have a fear the food banks might be linked to social services, and I, like most of my peers, were raised to avoid them at all possible costs. Please see part 2 of this blog for details on how to find and get help from your local food bank if you need one. I know now that it is not complicated and does not involve social services. The reality of poverty is counting the 2p and 5p coins saved in a bottle and sending a 10-year-old to buy a packet of cheap pasta and a tin of tomatoes, because it's sort of embarrassing to have to pay with coins and count them out while there is someone behind you with a £20 note. The reality is eating plain boiled rice and pretending to like it, so the kids don't know that there's no other food except for what's on their plates. The reality is having an electric meter, running always on emergency credit, because you can't afford to get out of the cycle you're trapped in. It's making the choice between putting the heating on for an hour or getting cold and being able to buy a pack of sausages and some potatoes. The reality of relative poverty is going to the butcher and asking for a pound of mince to be separated into 3 bags for 3 meals. You'd be amazed what I can do with mince. The reality is going to the supermarkets just before they close and buying all you can for a fraction of the cost because it's going out of date tomorrow. That's okay, you're eating it tomorrow. It's value-priced peanut butters and cheap cuts of fatty meat. It's poor-quality chicken and eggs from barn hens. It's learning to mend, reuse, recycle, and go without. It's washing your hair with washing-up liquid because it's all you have until Wednesday when the holy grail of child tax credit hits your account and there's £50 for shopping. The reality of poverty is the shame of always having to say, "Sorry, I can't afford it." It's calling your mum in tears because there are bailiffs pounding on your door. It's drinking so much water you feel ill, simply so your stomach isn't painfully empty. So Jamie, forgive me for not watching your show. Forgive me for breaking up with you. You're as clueless, you see, as those politicians you hound into raising the school meal standards. I can't afford for my kids to eat school meals, not at £2 per child per day. That's £20 I simply don't have. And I can't get them for free because we're not on the dole. I suggest, before churning out the tripe you film, you come and spend a day in my world. I'm so cold I can't feel my fingers as I type this blog about poverty on a computer bought for me by a friend. I'll let you sit next to me and we'll laugh at how you can see your breath misting in the air above my charity shop desk. I'll show you which needle is used to stitch a hole in the toe of a canvas trainer. I'll make you a coffee, but only if you don't have sugar. That's a luxury we only buy if we are going to make a cake. You can help me scrub some of the mould from the walls, because it takes over the house entirely. We can do all that, then maybe you'll realise what poverty is. Coming up shortly is The Upsetting Truth Part 2, a follow-up from this article. Before we move on to The Upsetting Truth Part 2, a follow-on from this article, there's a quick addendum. Thank you all so much for the messages of support and the overwhelming goodwill. Answering messages, sending people to the correct links where they can get help. It's time-consuming, so please be patient. I'm only one person. Please get in touch via email if you know of organisations that could be of help to others. I'll be sure to pass on all the information along the line. And share it all on my Facebook page. If you're looking for help and advice or just someone to talk to, please contact me either through email or my Facebook page. I'm great at finding numbers and websites that might help. If you'd like to donate to any of the causes that have cropped up thanks to this article, please contact your local food bank or the Trussell Trust, who will be happy for any donations you can give. I'm an author. I am an indie published and I sell my books through Amazon. I'm very new to it all, in the scheme of things only 7 months old, and I have no outside help or agents to publicise me, pay me or do any of that stuff. I live in rented accommodation and I do receive a small amount from child tax credits. My husband works. We are above the cut-off wage of £16,190 per annum and are not entitled to any more than we already claim. While I see the goodwill behind the thousands of comments telling me to claim free meals, working tax credit, etc., etc., we are not entitled to them. We live in the grey area of the benefit system and actually make less than those on benefits after taxes. But the amount after taxes is not the amount used for calculations. To do my job, which is writing, I need the computer to be able to both write and publish my work. My work supplements my husband's wage. It is a necessity, not a luxury. It is the tool of my trade. While it seems to make sense to say that my computer is a luxury, it was actually a very generous gift from a friend who was staying with us for a while, when he was made homeless after a bereavement. That I feel the need to justify having a computer is indicative of the stigma and shame surrounding poverty, as though not having a TV, not having internet, not having a computer, keeping the gas off, eating less, the list here is endless, will somehow magically change the poverty-stricken situation into one of good times and plenty.